Alleluia! Christ is risen!
Christ is risen indeed!
Alleluia! You all know the right words. I really appreciate that. So, aside from saying these words that we say every Easter, how do you all celebrate Easter? How do you all celebrate? Do you have a meal together? Ham? Ham, yeah?
Yeah.
Anyone do lamb? Yeah? Do you have an Easter egg hunt? Nathan, do you have an Easter egg hunt at home? Oh man, you should be up there. It's too bad. Will you gather with family?
Yes.
Yeah? Have a wonderful meal. My family will gather tonight at my parents' house. They are not game players. You know, that's not what they do. But my immediate family, my husband and kids, we love a good game. The nerdier, the better. But there is one game that we hardly ever play because it just takes so darn long, and that is, of course, Monopoly. You all know Monopoly, right? What is the card that you least would like to get, especially early in the game? Do you all know?
Go to jail.
Go to jail, yes. No one wants go to jail, because then what happens? You're stuck. You all the action misses you. You can't buy any properties. Later in the game, and it can actually be good to go to jail, right? Because then you don't have to land on someone else's face. And there you are stuck. Unless you, of course, have a get-out-of-jail-free card, or you get lucky and roll a double. Well, I was thinking about Monopoly this week because in our gospel story that we hear today, we hear the women who come to the tomb, they are told twice, go, go. We find the women at the tomb stuck. They are imprisoned in their own grief, which I know some of you are quite acquainted with that feeling. Jesus, in whom they had placed all of their hope, has died, and they have no idea how to even contemplate what comes next. And so they go, knowing all that they know to do, and go to care for the body. But when they arrive, they are immediately shaken from their grief because there is a godly event. There is an earthquake that literally shakes them from their mourning. And an angel descends from heaven. And very reasonably, their response to the angel descending from heaven must be, of course, fear, because I think all of us would be afraid. And so the angel immediately says what? Be not afraid. Yep. They are paralyzed, stuck in their grief. And the angel says, do not be afraid. Certainly the guards were afraid. We hear that they became like dead men. They were so terrified. But the women were eager to hear what this angelic being was going to say. And so once the angel says, do not be afraid, the angel continues to reassure them that in fact what has happened is what exactly Jesus promised would happen. The angel shows them, helps them to understand, connects what they are seeing with their eyes with what they had been told. And then what does the angel do but say, go. Go and tell the others. And yet still, when they go, they are not only now in grief, they are also in confusion and fear, for it just doesn't make sense. And then the only one who can set their fears aside, who can help them understand, appears before them on the road. It is Jesus. And again, they are stopped in their tracks. Yes, they had heard what the angel said, but this does not make sense. And then finally, they recall by Jesus' encouragement what they had been told. How do they become unstuck? How do they get out of prison so they can go? This, I believe, is a feeling that we are all familiar with, not only those of us who have been stuck in mourning, but also it is a feeling that all of us have when the world just doesn't make sense. The world is overwhelming, and I think if we're honest, we just don't know what to do, or we don't know what to do first. There's just so much that is wrong. I recently saw someone take the Serenity Prayer. You all know the Serenity Prayer. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things that I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. The wisdom part is always the hard part. But they turned it around and said, God, grant me the courage to change the things I cannot accept. But where do we even begin if that is what we are to do? There is just too much to choose from. How do we focus? What wisdom guides us in our effort? Do we do our part to bring world peace? I don't know about you, but I can't quite imagine how I can make much difference there. Do we seek to save God's good creation from carelessness and destruction? Do we put all of our effort into welcoming the stranger and fixing the unjust systems that separate families? Or do we take on the outrageous cost of medical care in these days? Do we spend all of the limited resources we have on trying to make sure that our neighbors have enough to eat? Or on fixing the systems that contribute to the extreme division between rich and poor? We're in the prison of indecision. Do not pass go. Do not collect $200. But the good news of Easter morning is that Jesus is, in fact, not in prison. There is an old Easter hymn that we are not singing today. If I had been more prepared, we would have sung it today. But the hymn goes like this: Had Christ, who once was slain, not burst his 3 days' prison, our faith had been in vain. But now has Christ arisen. Jesus is on the move. Jesus greets the women and repeats the words of the angel, "Do not be afraid. Go. Go and tell the others." A few weeks ago, we here heard the story of the disciples of John the Baptist coming and saying, "Hey, Jesus, are you the real deal?" And Jesus responds to them and says, like we hear this morning, "Go. Go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk. Those with a skin disease are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor have good news brought to them." Go. Go and tell the story. We get so caught up in the bad news, don't we? Because there's just so much of it. If we open the newspaper, or our browser more likely, or if we turn on the television, God forbid, we hear nothing but bad news. That we have sometimes, I think, forgotten how to tell the good news. Yes, the good news of the resurrection. The good news of new life in Jesus, and with that, the good news of what Jesus is doing among us, how we witness Jesus among us today. When we see the hungry fed, and the stranger welcomed, and the hurt find healing, and the sorrowful find comfort and compassion. So do not be afraid, but go. Burst your prison, your fear, your pain, your indecision, and tell the good news wherever and whenever you encounter it. To tell you the truth, it's It's been quite hard here over the last few months. We have seen too many beloved people, die. And we have seen others face seemingly insurmountable barriers with health. You'll hear some of those names of those who have died later in the service today. I visited one of the people who was just in the hospital yesterday. And she, I have to tell you, she was so eager to go. She was so eager to be on the move again, to feed people and love people, to live out her faith boldly and passionately. There's another member who, though struggling with her own health, has bent over backwards in this last month to help a neighbor who was detained and to accompany his family. Another member has been driven to the point of exhaustion because she is not someone who can ever give 80%. She always has to give 120% to organize and encourage and gather people who join in the cause of justice. Another member of the church has been building up the faith of his siblings while also still taking time to visit and check in on those who are sick in the congregation. So go. Be the body of Christ in the world. It may never feel like enough. You may never know if you're doing the right thing, but do something. Go. Feed people. House people. Love people. Go. Create community. Remove barriers. Cry out for justice. Go knowing that the resurrected Christ has burst his 3 days' prison and goes with you. Go knowing that you do not walk alone. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Amen.